101, a version 1 podcast.
I'd like to welcome William and Lizzie from Change Donations to the 101 podcast. Thanks very much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Really looking forward to diving into the Change Donations platform itself. But first of all, it's best to kind of maybe go back to the start and get a little background. So I might start with you, Lizzie, if you give us a bit of your background and what brought you to Ireland as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background, I'm from Silicon Valley. I moved to Ireland after spending about 8 years working at different startups in both San Francisco and New York. Moved here about 18 months ago to do my MBA at Trinity, where I met Willie, and we started Change Donations right around then.
Yeah, so I come from a little bit of a different background. I mean, I'm from the U.S. as well. So I grew up in Washington, D.C., graduated from Georgetown, and then moved up to New York to work as a financial analyst. So I was very corporate, very serious, not so much into the tech scene as Lizzie. And so I worked in New York for a couple of years, sought out an MBA, moved over here to Dublin, and then started the MBA at Trinity.
Oh, that's really interesting. Two very different backgrounds brought together there.
Very different. Yeah.
If you guys could describe Change Donations in a nutshell and who I suppose the target market is for Change Donations.
Yeah, I'd say so Change Donations is a new way for donors to give to the causes they care about most. So our idea is we're trying to reimagine the whole donation process and make giving both easier for the donor and more cost effective for the charity. So and as we've kind of done our research, we've identified that the millennial generation is the most charitable of any other generation, and they give at a higher rate than any other generation, but at a lower denomination. So, you know, millennials have less disposable income, but they're very socially conscious and they really do want to give back. And so our whole idea is we'd love to be able to give donors a way to be able to give back within their means and in a really flexible and transparent way. So we're targeting that millennial generation and trying to kind of bring charities into the digital age.
What sparked off the idea for Change Donations? Was there kind of a specific maybe project or maybe big moment that you discovered in the MBA?
Yeah, the first module we got to take at Trinity was an entrepreneurship module. And we were tasked with coming up with a business idea, and we were lucky enough to be on the same team, which was amazing. And this kind of came out of that. We wanted to start working on something that would actually make a difference, so it wasn't just purely business. And so Trinity was a great support for that. We got to kind of interview a lot of different charities as part of the project, and the feedback we received was fantastic. And so as we kind of moved out of the project and into the rest of our semester, it's something we kept working on the side until the summer came and we were accepted into Launchbox and we were able to work on it full time.
Oh, that's really interesting. And what was involved in Launchbox and how did they help you kind of get, I suppose, Change Donations off the ground?
Yeah, so Launchbox was just great just because it was kind of a dedicated resource in terms of where we could commit our time. So while we were on the MBA, it was difficult to sort of manage and balance our time. And, you know, it was nice to just get into that new headspace of, okay, when we're in the GMB, we're working exclusively on Launchbox. When we're in the MBA buildings, we're doing the MBA work. So it was nice to kind of separate and categorize some of the aspects of our lives, specifically on the career side. So that was one of the main aspects that really appealed to us. And then just the level of commitment from some of the ex-Launchbox participants and all the alumni and some of the other resources that we had access to were really great in sort of helping us get our feet off the ground and launch our product and build a brand and things like that.
You guys mentioned that when you were in Trinity doing your MBA that you were kind of performing some research and kind of progressing Change Donations. At what point did it, I suppose, become formally Change Donations, and when did you kind of go to the market with your research, and what type of research did you carry out?
Yeah, so I guess one of the fun facts or one of the original facts is that we weren't originally called Change Donations. So we started off as Roundup, which is easily identified as the weed killer. Monsanto owns that brand. So we kind of, all the language and the literature that we were pushing out was Roundup your spare change, and all everything that's kind of categorized into lumping small change into big donation pots. So then in March of 2018, another competitor unleashed or unveiled their product, which was Roundup app. The same logo, same color scheme, same wording, almost identical to everything that we had already published internally within our ecosystem. So we sat down, we came up with a new name. We settled on Change Donations, which we're thrilled about. And yeah, then we just started pushing out some content. So we were pretty active on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're still trying to get a hang of Twitter. Twitter's a little bit tougher for us to manage. And then LinkedIn as well. So LinkedIn is probably the most straightforward in terms of the content that we're pushing out there. But we're learning, we're trying to figure it all out. And yeah, we're just trying to build a brand.
And in terms of, I suppose, competition or other charitable resources out there, how would you say Change Donations is differentiated in the market?
Yeah, so there's a couple of competitors out there. So none in Ireland, luckily. So we've got a nice little runway of kind of unbridled free time to just kind of get our head around everything and make sure we understand the Irish market. The two main competitors that we have in what we call the micro donation space, so basically rounding up transactions and donating that spare change to a charity or nonprofit organization, those two are Roundup App, which we had just mentioned, and then Cheerful Giving. So Cheerful Giving is based out of San Francisco, and they are actually a charity themselves. So they have a completely different business model from us, and they're essentially building out apps for charities to use. So for example, if you think of just a couple of Irish charities, what Cheerful Giving would do is they would build an app for the Dublin Timing community, and then they'd go out and build another app for the Special Olympics. So if you were a donor and you wanted to give to, say, five or six different charities, you'd have to download each specific app. So Cheerful Giving, although they do something similar to us, have taken a very different approach. And then the other Roundup app, they're taking a much different marketing approach. So they're going this B2C route. So they're going out there and trying to build a brand organically and to go after donors one by one. So they're looking for that viral campaign, the mass marketing thing, all these social media outlets to kind of take advantage of this viral digital age. Whereas we're very cognizant of that, but we feel that that's one of the hardest ways to go about building a business. We think that a B2C route is very difficult, and a B2B route is much more simple, easier to maintain, and just provides a larger ability to scale. So what we're doing is we're going to the charities and marketing out our platform by integrating with these charities, and then they're taking our platform and marketing it out to their existing donor base. So they're going out. So let's kind of break it down. I guess I'm moving a little bit too quickly, but if we break out, let's just say Trinity and the Dublin Timing community to use that same example, what the Dublin Timing community would do is they'd roll it out and they would say, okay, you can do your one-off donation, you could do your monthly direct debit, or we've got this new way that you can donate and round up your spare change. So we think that it's going to be a very useful tool for some of the lapsed donors, and as Lizzie had mentioned, those younger generation donors. And then for something like Trinity, we think that it's going to be very powerful for some of the recent alumni or the recent graduates. So anybody who graduated within this year to 15 years from now, they don't typically have a ton of money to give, but we think that it's the recent alumni are a very good target market for us.
You mentioned, I suppose, two things there that are of interest. Firstly, the idea of using your platform and your tech to scale, really, to meet the demands of lots of charities, maybe delivering a bespoke platform to each. And then secondly, that you're really reaching out here at a local level in Ireland, and I believe the UK as well, that you'll be scaling to. Do you think it's important to kind of be here on the ground in Ireland and in the UK if you're growing there as well, in terms of, I suppose, meeting the charities and working with them face to face? And my second question on that is, are charities different in different locations? Would it be different, I suppose, here to meet the demands of users here in, you know, Ireland, the UK and Germany, for example, as opposed to the States?
In terms of being on the ground, I think it's been really beneficial for us to be here. Going back to sort of our business approach and working with the charities directly, one of the reasons we ended up doing that instead of doing a B2C approach is because we actually had focus groups with charities here in Ireland, and we learned from them that they didn't want to, they spent a lot of time and money marketing to their donor base or their email list that maybe aren't donors yet. And they wanted a way to keep them sort of within their ecosystem, but they're happy to kind of send them to us, but as long as it stayed within their page. So they didn't want to send someone off to a new standalone app that was aggregating everyone. So that's the approach we sort of took. We wanted to give each charity their own sort of unique URL so they can send their donors to their own page. But then if a donor is coming in through via Change Donations, they're also able to use that network effect of being able to search all different charities. So therefore making it more cost effective for charities, but also easier for donors both to simplify everyone they're giving to, but also to discover new charities as they'd like to. So for us, being able to actually talk to the charities and learn from them how they currently go about fundraising, how they target different demographics here in Ireland, actually just what the demographics are for giving are very different from market to market. And a lot of Irish giving is more grassroots compared to some other countries. And so that's been really beneficial for us to be here to learn all about that. In terms of next steps, and Willie's just spent some time in the U.S. Actually talking to different charities.
Yeah. So as Lizzie's mentioned, the demographics and the donor profiles are very different from country to country.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So the Irish donor typically gives to more of a local cause, which is why something like the GAA receives donations, just because it's these passionate local communities that support these organizations. And the charities operate very similar to sort of the GAA in the sense that they're locally funded and community driven. Whereas in the US, they're much more national. So you have these national fundraising campaigns. You do have these local door-to-door people that go around and raise awareness, but it's much more of a national institutional level in terms of the charities. And what we feel in the U.S. is going to be a very powerful thing is the schools themselves. So as Lizzie had mentioned, I was in the U.S. talking to a number of different schools. So from the high school to the middle school to the collegiate level, they all live and die by fundraising. And it's yes, the schools are very expensive to attend in the U.S., but they still depend a significant they still depend largely on donations. So the education donations in the U.S. actually exceed the philanthropic donations. So okay. Schools generate more philanthropy than some of the organizations, the charitable organizations in the U.S.
So would you say maybe, for example, the donor profile of a person maybe or donating to their local GAA football team here in Ireland, or maybe their local soccer team in the UK, might be similar to the donor profile of somebody who's trying to fundraise for their sports team maybe in the US. It's that kind of community level, maybe sports and their activities around the universities.
Yeah, so the university as a whole would be very similar to the GAA in the sense that it's these passionate donors that strongly identify with that brand because they either went to that university or their child goes to that school or whatever it may be. They've got an emotional, physical connection to the organization. And so where the U.S. differs from Ireland on that sporting culture, we don't have amateur sports. So we don't have anything similar to the GAA. Everything is paid and paid well. So the athletes are some of the richest people in the United States. So it's a completely different animal in regards to the GAA.
In Ireland, it's a purely philanthropic reason for giving. So the tax incentives are for the charity rather than the person. Where in the US, the incentives are, as a person, you actually can claim back tax. And so they can be beneficial, you know, in two ways to give to charity in the US. So
it makes a lot of sense then why the data might be different, and why our user mm-hmm. profiles would have different motivators. Or
mm-hmm. yeah, and every country I think will have very different tax incentives and structures, and so it will be really important that we kind of spend a fair amount of time to really understand each market as we enter new markets.
So you're on your first release of Change Donations in its current form. Could you tell us a little bit about the route you took to make your first release and some of maybe your tech decisions along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. So like we were talking about before, initially we were sort of thinking we were going to go with a standalone app, but after talking to a lot of our charity partners, we understood that the most important thing, charity partners and donors actually, the most important thing was to, number one, allow charities to drive traffic directly to a page that was theirs, and number two, give donors a way to give that they were comfortable with. And so with those two things in mind, we decided to go with the web app first versus a standalone app. So we built that out. So each one of our charity partners is able to have their own unique URL, so they're able to point donors specifically to their page, so they're not in a whole list of other charities to choose from. And then on a donor side, they're able to sign up from the comfort of their computer. So while we are mobile optimized, this was kind of the ideal route because the donor could actually give in any way they wanted to, whether they're home with their desktop or if they were on the go and wanted to sign up on their phone. So we've done the sign up process in two steps. First, the donor links their credit or debit card via their online banking portal, and then the donor would link a credit or debit card. And we've done that in two steps so that the donors, one is read only, so the donors' details are always super safe and secure, and then the other is for the actual processing of the donation to the charity itself.
That's really, I think it's a really logical route to have taken as you scale. And do you see the mobile app coming down the line, or is it more important to scale your charity base or your user base as you're going forward?
Yeah, the goal is to get the mobile app out there as quickly as possible. I think today, donors expect to have the ability to download an app, whether or not they want to sign up that way in the first place. They want to be able to use that, especially since we're allowing them to actually see what's going on in the background. A donor wants to be able to kind of easily look at their account, see what the transactions were. So the more easily accessible we can make that, the better. And then we're also giving donors access to an impact summary from each one of their charity partners so they can kind of see a breakdown of how the charity's funding or donations are spent as a percentage of kind of a 100% pie. And so being able to see that in real time really gives, you know, you as a donor a feeling of impact. Like we really want to, the donor to be able to feel that they're making a difference, because they really, really are making a difference in the end.
And in terms of next steps for change donations, in terms of countries, where are you thinking next, and what's next in general?
Yeah, so I guess first and foremost would be to kind of get that app underway and get that built. So we're spending all summer kind of refining and revisiting and retooling all the things that we've kind of picked up and learned over these last couple weeks of our private beta. So we've gotten a lot of good data, a lot of good feedback, a lot of good user feedback, a lot of good charity feedback in terms of what they like, what they don't like, what they're looking for, some additional tools that we may need to add. So once we kind of get that all wrapped up and finalized and signed off on, building out the rest of that web app, building out the mobile application, and then kind of hammering home all the major key players in the Irish market, and then it's off to the U.S. So we've got a nice active pipeline of U.S. charities very interested in looking at and using our product. So we, as Lizzie had mentioned, they are a little bit of an easier acquisition on the donor side. So we're very much looking forward to getting into the U.S. market. But we love the Irish market. We want to do anything we can to sort of help these charities and sort of help build a community of everyday philanthropists here in Ireland.
And in terms of your lessons learned to date, because you've been progressing change donations here in Ireland, how different has it been from, I know, Lizzie, you were in Silicon Valley for years, and Will, you were kind of came from that kind of more financial corporate background. Did you kind of bring any lessons with you from where you came from, and what have the biggest differences been running to change donations?
I mean, so for me, one reason that I wanted to come to Ireland to do my MBA, I sort of always knew I wanted to start a business in general, and I was hoping I'd meet people that would be amazing to start a business with. And so I think it was a great kind of, I don't know, meant to be sort of thing for me. But one of the reasons why I wanted to come to Ireland is, being from San Francisco, sort of anyone is willing to try anything. I think we're so used to technology, and we're so used to like trying the next cool thing that we'll sign up to anything. Like, fads are really big. you don't really see the everyday person that will actually have hesitations to trying new things. And so coming to Ireland and being able to talk to people one-on-one, get a real, like, realistic view on how the product would be perceived was really important to me. I think it's just, you can't, when you go look at other markets when you're from San Francisco, it's just such a different thing because you're so used to everyone just being on board. And so I think we're actually learning faster being here. So going into the US where people maybe are a little bit less nervous about linking a card or are more used to donating in a digital way, it will in some ways be a lot easier. And I think we're learning a lot of really valuable lessons on how to make the whole process more impactful and more valuable for both the charities and the donors because of the lessons we're learning here. So,
yeah. And for me, my sort of path to getting here was slightly different. It was when I was working in New York, meaning a sort of strip from your life in terms of your everyday routine and your job, it's done so on sort of an infrastructural level as well as sort of an emotional level, in the sense that, you know, because everything's so convenient, so close, and so connected in New York, you're working until 9 o'clock at night because there's no wasted time in transit. So you get off work, you're immediately out at the bars, you're at home, you're at a restaurant, wherever you need to go, you can get to pretty easily. So you kind of forget, you never really get that chance to sort of take a deep breath, relax, understand what you like, what you want to do, and what actually gives you a sense of meaning in your community. And so that's why I sort of looked at going back into school. Trinity gave a couple of great opportunities that kind of struck a chord with me. One, as Lizzie had mentioned, it's very entrepreneurial. And two, it has that international experience. And so I had known that I wanted to start a business for quite some time. My father, my brother, and I had kind of done a little bit of research on the philanthropy sector and tried to come up with some sort of ideas. And then luckily at Trinity, we were able to kind of build this idea up from the ground, and we had enough time to work on it and a lot of good resources to help support us along the way. We just knew that we wanted to make something that gave us meaning, provided meaning for others, and really did some good in the communities that we cared about. So yes, we care about the Irish community. We care about our own communities back home. But this isn't limited to our caring. It's easily applicable and easily transferable to any community. And we want to help everybody that we can.
Would you have any advice for anyone who might be a bit hesitant to maybe take on a startup, or if they have an idea and they're maybe worried that it mightn't be for them? Would you have any advice for anyone who's kind of tempted but might be a bit afraid?
Yeah, I mean, I've been one of those people that is very comfortable with risk and kind of an abnormally high level of risk. And I don't really tend to panic. I stay calm for the most part. And some people think that I kind of have no emotion. so it's got its pluses and minuses.
You're primed for a startup.
I mean, it does stress you out. But at the end of the day, you're following what you want to do. And you kind of, you're not making the rules. I mean, it's not like you can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to break all the rules, I'm going to go out there and just change the way everybody does everything. You know, there's no formula, but it's definitely balancing sort of human nature and applying your business acumen and the tools that you've gathered along the way and sort of taking that leap. I mean, it's a big risk, and it takes a little bit of courage, but if you don't do it, you're going to beat yourself up about it for sometimes. So I'd say go out there and do it. You know, I mean, don't be afraid to fail. We failed pretty much every day. So get out there, do it. Do whatever makes you happy. And kind of, it's kind of cliche to say follow your heart and do what makes you happy. But, you know, at the end of the day, only you are going to be looking out for yourself. So yeah, there's a lot of people that you can depend on and that can support you. But, you know, you've got to take action and do what's right for you.
If there is any tips you'd have for anyone who's maybe for a tech person who's maybe going into startups with a more business focused person or a business background going into tech, do you guys have any tips for our audience?
I think the biggest thing is really be aligned on what the end goals are and talk about things really clearly and openly. I think the most frustrating things come from miscommunication. And so number one, finding people that you align on kind of the mission of the company, and you know that you trust each other, and you know that in general, like you guys are both working towards the same thing. As long as you know that, and then can kind of clearly communicate what the end goal is, and try to come up with the solutions towards that end goal together, I think that solves a lot of problems. I think all the issues we've sort of come across so far have just been miscommunication and misunderstanding, because there is definitely a barrier when you're a business person trying to talk to a tech person, and you don't sometimes, I mean, I know for me for sure, I don't know the questions that I should be asking. And so something will be missing, and, you know, but at the end of the day, it's just communication. And I think every day we all learn about, you know, how we could have communicated clearly and asked questions about, you know, this didn't come out how I wanted it. Well, like, why did that happen? And being able to kind of really critically kind of look at how you're explaining things on both sides, and trying to come to a happy medium is, I'd say, the biggest thing.
And I imagine as you're scaling and expanding to the US, hiring a tech team or hiring on the technical side will be really important for change donations.
Yeah. Yeah. We just, so we've had an awesome outsource team to date, and we just hired our first in-house developer. We're super excited about it. So
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So it will definitely continue to grow, but baby steps.
Yeah. Baby steps for sure. In terms of sort of the not mission, but in terms of some of the frustrations that we saw within the charity sector, I don't know if your tech audience is familiar with South Park, but they kind of hit the nail right on the head in terms of a lot of the inefficiencies that we recognized. You know, the current way of donating and the bucket shaking and the chuggers out on the street, it's very much guilt focused. So they're out there saying, you know, there's a lot of people that need your help. Why aren't you giving? Or why didn't you give enough? Or you could always be doing more, which is true. Yeah, you could always be doing more, but nobody wanted to be guilted into doing it. So we kind of looked at that and we said, okay, like the way that you're going to stop guilting people into it is by giving the donor complete autonomy and complete control over their donations. So that's why we were really conscious about creating this platform that had both the donor's core interests, wants, needs, and desires in mind, and then also satisfied sort of all of the core requirements for the charity. So as Lizzie had mentioned, it the charities were basically looking for an online platform that didn't direct a potential donor away from that charity site. So we said, okay, fine, we'll partner with the charities. We'll go through you guys and we'll build organically that way. And then for the donors, we're saying, okay, look, you have complete control. You don't want to round up on this transaction, take it away. You want to set a $5 limit for each week? Fine, perfect. You want to set a $10 limit? You know, you want to boost your donations at the end of the month because you've got a little bit of extra cash? Totally fine. You want to turn roundups off and on at any time? That's okay too. And so we've kind of done everything that all the donors are looking for, because we're donors as well. So we know the pain of donating. We know how frustrating some of those aggressive chuggers can be. I mean, they passed litigation on some of the requirements for chuggers. They're not allowed to take three steps in your direction or else it's considered harassment. So there's an obvious problem with the way that these charities are fundraising. And
you're just kind of taking off the pressure actually alleviates some of those problems. Maybe taking off the pressure makes you more likely to actually donate.
Yeah, that's kind of our whole ethos is that, you know, if you give people the option, they're going to do the right thing. And so as Lizzie had mentioned earlier, millennials are some of the most generous. It's one of the most generous demographics that there is. You know, I mean, we don't have a lot. We're not giving $50,000 a year because it's more than most of our salaries. But you know, we're from as a unit, as a collective group, we give, you know, far more than many of the others. You know, I think our numbers are up by 65-70%. And even though, you know, we're giving 20 euros, 50 euros, 100 euros at the end of the year, we care, you know, and you know, Lizzie and I, we're cognizant that, you know, these people care and they need to be able to feel the impact that they're having on these organizations.
The intent is there as a whole.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that millennials are getting, you know, a positive rating in one aspect, because I feel like we're getting stories about millennials spending all their money in avocados every week, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose to wrap up, I'd like to just ask, how can donors get involved? Is it limited to our Irish listeners, or can our listeners in the UK also donate right now? And any tips you have for people signing up to the service as a donor or a charity?
Yeah, so right now we're in private beta in Ireland. So we're hoping to expand in the coming months, but at the moment we are just available here in Ireland. We should be opening up to the general public and starting to onboard new charities in the coming weeks. So you can join the mailing list or sign up to our initial private beta by going to changedonations.com.
Yeah, so we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. So any follow, likes, or any of that stuff, any comments, suggestions, criticisms, we'll take it all. And so we're actually one of the fun things that we're doing right now is we're planning towards this launch party and this Dublin Day of Giving. So we want to kind of create this whole mass movement of people that can give and kind of spread awareness to some of the lesser known causes, some of the bigger known causes. And so any suggestions, recommendations, or anybody who's interested in helping us kind of plan it all together, the Dublin Day of Giving is something that we're pretty adamant about pushing out there. So yeah, look forward to that release date as well.
Sounds great, guys. Well, thanks very much for joining us on the 101 podcast, Lizzie and Will, and best of luck for scaling change donations.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the 101 podcast. If you would like more information about any of our podcasts or our guests, visit us at version1.com/1-0-1.